And how far do you think that this enhancement technology could go?
It's limited only by our understanding of genetics. And I think maybe 20, 30 years ago, we thought, oh, we'll find a gene for this, a gene for that. And we'll be able to, you know, work out what the gene for curly hair is or, you know, and we'd just be able to tweak this and tweak that and change it. And we're learning now that there is a big interplay between different kinds of genes. And there is epigenetics where you have a gene, but it's not expressed in the same way. Things are slightly more complicated. But ultimately, if we understand which genes are responsible for which traits down the line, anything might be possible. It's limited only by our understanding of how the genetic code that we have in our cells ends up being expressed in our bodies.
And you said that she kept on saying that this technology is inevitable. Is it, do you think?
It's as inevitable as we allow it to be. Hmm. She used the word inevitable 12 times during our conversation in her office. I feel like there is a tide that is turning in the US, having seen the tone and the mood of this debate with this ethicist, having walked around New York and seen the advertising for pre-implantation genetic testing, where the slogan for this company is, have your best baby. This idea that, you know,
not
being
just a
parent,
healthy baby.
Not just a healthy, your best baby. I've looked at a lot of technologies where the argument for it is, we're helping children. Do you want little children to suffer? And there are very few people who will say, yes, we're happy for little children to suffer in order to maintain this arbitrary ethical boundary. You do need to be flexible when you're looking at these things. But the thing about Kathy is her association with Hirschhorn Quay does tarnish this somewhat. Because Hirschhorn Quay has tweeted at length about how inevitable it will be to do genetic engineering for intelligence, for enhancement, as opposed to just medicine. And if she is doing this, if her objective is really just to help the sickest, most vulnerable individuals on this planet, why did she have this close association with this man? And why isn't she prepared to completely disown everything that he did? And so I do feel like we are moving closer to a world where gene editing of embryos is going to happen. But it concerns me greatly that this American model of the way to make this happen is through genetic engineering startups rather than through proper scientific research. And I understand why there isn't this scientific research is because there's a moratorium on that research. But it would be really worrying if a consequence of that moratorium is you've got Sam Altman and Kathy Tai driving it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, Sam Altman, this discussion really reminds me of the discussion around AI right now. It's inevitable.
It's exactly the same thing. Yeah. It's exactly the same discourse of this is definitely going to happen, so we might as well have good people driving it, or we might as well have me driving it because I know what I'm doing. Well, it's exactly the same thing with AI and China. Mm. Like, you know, we can't have any regulation on AI because otherwise China is going to beat us. We can't have any regulation on genetic engineering of embryos. Otherwise, China is going to get there first. And there is a sense that China is moving forward, even though it was the Chinese authorities that put Hirschhorn Quay in prison after he broke the rules. There is that argument. But there's a point in which we have to step back and say, just because we think other people might be doing it, is this a reason for us to race to the bottom of doing it? And we should be able to have a mature conversation about this without saying, we've got to hurry up and do this first. Otherwise, you know, we're going to be left behind and this is inevitable. It's going to happen anyway. So we must make sure we're at the front of it.
Fascinating and terrifying in equal measure. Jenny, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
That was Jenny Kleeman. You can read her interview with Kathy at theguardian.com. And that is all for today. This episode was produced by Casey McGlaw and Tom Glasser and presented by me, Helen Pidd. Sound design was by Ross Burns and the executive producer was Eli Block. We'll be back in your feeds this afternoon with the latest.
This is The Guardian.
Full Story is supported by EY Parthenon. EY Parthenon is the global strategy consulting practice of EY, working with CEOs, boards, investors, and governments on their most critical decisions. They bring deep sector expertise, an investor mindset, and advanced technology to bring clarity to complex challenges. EY Parthenon helps leaders make better decisions in moments of change, anticipating what's next, finding opportunity in uncertainty, and translating complex shifts into real-world outcomes, turning insight into action. For more insights, go to ey.com/au/Parthenon. EY Parthenon, transformative strategy and transactions. Solutions that work in practice, not just on paper.